Coming up on TMS, my advice is don't watch war movies right before bed.
That's good advice. Netflix might be getting Star Trek, and that's awesome.
Oldest living man dies at 111.
Game of Thrones finale is supposed to be the best thing ever.
Marvel and Netflix are bringing Vincent D'Onofrio in as the Kingpin.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
We've got the facts and figures, but you've got cleaner clothes. The cleaner clothes your family wears. The cleaner linens in your home. Yes, all you need is a washing machine heaped high with those Tide suds. Then a quick rinse, and lady, you're hanging up the cleanest wash in town.
Tide gets one cleaner than any soap.
Any soap?
Yes, any soap.
You get the cleanest wash in town with
T-I-D-E Tide.
T-I-D-E Tide.
Don't listen to him, Gloria. He's lying.
Do dogs have brains? Because I'd like seriously wanted to know. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. TMS for short. It's an acronym, or is it the proper acronym or not? Did we determine that? Remember that whole acronym talk? I can't remember
yeah,
now.
Yeah, see, I'm still of the belief, and it's become one of those things that's just kind of absorbed into our culture. But I'm of the belief that an acronym has to be pronounceable, like SHIELD or SCUBA.
Oh.
And you can't pronounce TMS.
Ah, oh, that's good. You can't do TMS. Ooh, that's an annoying thing to say. TMS. Yeah. Yeah, I that's funny. I've never heard anybody make that claim before. That it had to be pronounceable. Other than I guess we talked about it,
right? It has
on
to
the
be,
show,
it has
but
to make a pronounceable word.
So FBI, not an acronym,
right?
What's another good one? DARPA. You could say DARPA is.
Yeah, DARPA is. Sure,
it's pronounceable
because you pronounced it DARPA.
Yeah,
you know you right.
I remembered killing the DARPA chief in the first Metal Gear Solid game. what else? There's you got your oh geez, UTA here in Utah, so the Utah Transit Authority. Could we call that the UTA? Nope.
The UTA,
no,
sure.
That sucks.
Look it up, E. Kardashinsky, who disagrees. He says nope, an acronym does not have to be pronounceable. There are, if you look on Wikipedia, for example, it says the predominant theory or the predominant feeling about it is that it has to be pronounceable, but that it's acceptable to say that FBI would be an acronym. Or I disagree with that. I say we don't kowtow. We don't kowtow to people who use things incorrectly.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Here's how I look at it. all the way I look at it is all of this stuff is up to interpretation anyway, because at the end of the day, this is how I look at computers, and it's why they've never intimidated me. There are people who look at a computer and go, oh my, I don't even know what to do. What do I do? Like, they just don't know what to do. And if something breaks, they need to bring in, you know, a prophet or a freaking maester to fix it. And the way I look at it is these were not blue orbs of knowledge handed down from the heavens by some, you know, by some assembly of knowledge gods who just went, here is a throbbing blue ball of knowledge. Take it and use it with wisdom. Like, that doesn't happen. It was dudes who made it. Dude made it, right?
Right.
So exactly. Hard programming language. Let's say you want to learn it. You want to learn C++. Guess what? You totally can. Why? Because dude made it. It isn't a thing that was like some holy grail that nobody can touch. You know what I mean?
Right. Somebody had to think of it. It had to come out of somebody's head. So why can't it go into somebody's head just as easily?
Right. Even things that we love and adore, like the original Star Wars films. Dude made it.
Dude made it.
But something else. Man on the moon. Dudes did it.
So according to Lark, an acronym where you say the letters is called an initialism. So FBI would be an initialism. TMS would be an initialism.
Okay. So I got to quit saying it's an acronym then. I feel like I've blown it there. My whole life has been wasted, Brian, because I've said acronym the entire time.
I'm sorry.
But I'm not about to go, all right, you guys, what are your favorite initialisms? Is it FBI?
Sure.
Is it CIA or is it NIS? Those are initialisms. You know, I'm not gonna say it. I'm just not. But anyway, walk away with two things from today's opener, folks. Initialisms are a thing. Acronyms are pronounceable. Three things then.
Okay.
And the third thing is dudes made it.
Dudes made it.
Dude made it. Okay. All of it. Whatever. Actually, I think it's good. I mean, for real here, if you are daunted by something in your life, like, I don't know if I can get that law degree. I don't know if I can get that job at the book publisher or whatever you're doing, right? Just back up a little bit and realize it's just dudes making stuff. It's other dudes. They all have to poo like you do. Every one of them.
And dudettes.
Yes.
Let's not.
That's a good point. I use the term like mankind. Right, it's like that.
Exactly.
So like Obama, he gets up. He has to. Obama has to poo in the morning. Guess who else has to? Oprah has to. Guess who else has to? George Lucas has to poo. Maybe not in the morning. Maybe that's every 10 minutes for that guy. I don't know.
He just comes up with silly names for it.
Right.
As he's doing it. I'm going to call this one.
Monfar.
Jar Jar Binks.
Today's excrement will be Jar Jar Binks. That's amazing. Anyway. All right. Well, hey, we're here and I sound more awake than I am. And here's why. By the way, there's
take it until you make it, Scott.
Turns out there's a way to game the Patreon system in a way that's kind of funny.
Oh no!
I got a message this morning from the guys at Angry Chicken saying they hit their they hit a certain goal, a milestone, and it was a big number. And I'm like, oh well, that's amazing. That's great. I'm so happy for our friends Dills and Garrett.
Yeah.
And then almost immediately after, I got an email from a mass email from Garrett from within the system saying, no, we didn't reach that goal. He says, what happens is somebody will come in, an existing person or a new person, usually an existing. They adjust, let's say they're given $1 a month or something.
Yeah.
They adjust it up to like 10 grand. Like someone did this to Tom for $42 million. Okay. So they adjust their number to $42 million and then they adjust it back. But because they did that, the email system gets triggered and everybody gets notified that's supporting it that, hey, Tom Merritt's show hit $42 million.
Oh, no.
It's sort of annoying. So they're going to have to fix that.
Wow. Don't do that to us, people.
I think I just gave people ideas. Don't do it, okay? Don't do it.
Don't do it to us.
Yeah.
Feel free to do it to those Night Attack yahoos.
Yeah. And remember, video games made by dudes and ladies. I don't know why I said that. All right. So let's get to it. We got stuff. here's why I'm tired, but also a little punch drunky feeling right now.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good day yesterday. The kids are in at a week-long camp. Now, you might say to yourself, outdoors and fishing and canoeing and stuff. The answer would be no, none of that. This is a academic 3D modeling camp.
The thing at the school, at Friends School. Oh,
Friends,
that's so cool.
Gaming department's thing at the University of Utah. It's awesome. One of the premier programs in the country, and they're up there doing a week-long thing on 3D modeling and animation.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, and they're stoked. Nick got in by the hair of his chin because they were totally out of spots, and he's a little bit young for it, but they let him in anyway. And then Carter, of course, was all primed for it. So they're up there now, and at night they go home with their sister and stay with her, who has an apartment up by the U and is working up there and stuff. So they're all gone for like the whole week.
Like
I'm an empty nester this week. It's a real weird feeling. I mean, they're literally 25 minutes away. I can go get them anytime I want.
It's
but
weird eggs and kombucha 24 hours a day.
Kind of true. So last night, yesterday was hell. Just so much stuff came up and freelance crap and just it was nuts. Yeah. And so at the end of the day, I'm like, Kim, we are going. Let's go get something to eat. Let's get out of here. Let's have a little date. Let's go. So Kim and I went and got, I had a salad because that's what I eat now.
Yeah.
I don't eat normal food like you.
Aw. You know, there's some things beyond salad you can do, Scott.
I know, but not much. I mean.
Seafood's good, right?
Yeah.
You can eat the seafood.
Yeah, I had a little of that in the salad, but I can't really eat too much seafood. Like, it depends on the seafood. Like, I can do sushi. That's good, you know?
Yeah.
Rice is great. Whatever. That stuff's fine. Sure. I can't do a bunch of bunny, kind of bready, wet, gooey, sweaty meat things. I can't do that anymore. So I'm with Kim. I had a lovely Asian chicken shrimp something salad thing at the break here locally. It's a nice little bar place. When you're out here again ever, we'll go there. It's just cool. It's very close. I literally can walk three blocks or a couple of streets and it's there.
Wow.
Anyway, great pub food and we're the only ones as usual not drinking, but everyone else is, you know, drinking and half drunk. And saw a really great midlifer guy there yesterday. I'll tell that story one day because he was great. Should have heard him bragging about his 20 megabyte down internet he has. He was so stoked.
Sweet.
He goes, dude.
Write that one down, Daniel.
Probably
tell that story another time.
Somewhere between 58 and 65 years old. Had a gold chain, hat on backwards, Packers t-shirt.
Oh, no, really?
Uh-huh. Shorts where if he was turned and facing me, I'm pretty sure I could see his doodle, right? This kind of guy.
Aggie, right?
Yep. Uh-huh. Black socks and sandals. And he kept going. He kept going, dude, I've got 20 megabytes down. Dude, it's so fast. You don't even know, man. Dude. And he kept saying dude over and over and over again. Yeah. So now I've told the story. Anyway.
It sounds like a piece of work.
So we eat, we go home, and we watched a movie. We watched Jason Statham in Safe.
Oh, okay.
And he is all Jason Statham in that movie, and that's what you want him for, yeah, right? Yeah. He is the Jean-Claude Van Damme of our time, I believe. I think that's what he's doing now. He's basically mimicking that entire career when Jean-Claude was in his prime. And that's fine with me. Totally enjoying everything he makes. I find him incredibly compelling. I really like Jason Statham. But if you're going to be truthful about it, he's playing the same guy in everything he does.
Sure.
And that's okay. It's fine. Except they made him force another American accent here like they did in... What was that one we saw from film
set? Yes, when we watched. Oh, my God. It was horrible.
And it was bad. They should never do that.
Expendables, was it?
No.
It was in that, but it was another thing
he's
we watched.
He's way British in that. I can't remember what it was. But when they do that, I just go, why? Just you retcon your story that he's British and he's just over here. It's fine.
Right.
So anyway, those fight scenes. That movie is super dumb and silly from top to bottom. It's about him saving some Chinese girl. It's weird. But the action scenes, amazingly choreographed, great fight scenes. Really worth seeing. Totally fun. Good times. And that movie thinking, that was a good time. Thanks, honey. Yep, no problem. Burp, burp, burp. Time for bed. I can't sleep. So I think I'm going to watch another episode or two of Band of Brothers.
Okay.
The HBO miniseries. Award-winning, venerable series, right? So I'm watching that. And it's all about when they're stuck in the Battle of the Bulge stuff, like the freezing weather, horrible conditions, lots of terrible moment kind of time. And I watch that, and then I'm like, all right, I'm tired. I'm going to go to sleep. I actually fall right asleep. 2 hours later, I wake up in kind of a panic. In my head, I feel like I'm having, like, shell shock.
Oh, like, no, really?
Yeah, like these feelings of, like, when I woke up, my brain is racing with thoughts of foxholes and bombardments and mortar shells.
You're hearing these like...
Kind of. And I'm having the visuals are in my head and the conversations are in my head. And Donnie Wahlberg is in my head. Like it's the most... It was really intense. And it got me to thinking, if that's possible for me, just watching your damn thing too late at night and then your brain being, you know, too wired up to sleep properly. Just imagine what it must have been like for those actual dudes.
Right.
In that actual environment, doing that actual thing. It just really got me yesterday.
I bet they didn't get as much sleep either.
I bet they got none. And I wonder if their whole life was just riddled with bad sleep, you know? Right. Like some of those guys. Well, I mean, the way that
PTSD,
show.
PTSD, of course. I mean.
Yeah, the real thing. Like at the beginning of each of those episodes, they have the actual dudes who are in that company, Easy Company, say stuff.
Oh, really?
The surviving members, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they kind of documentary style, and then they roll into the drama. And they all get choked up. They all have these really vivid memories. Like you can just tell this stuff's raw, and they're in their 90s. It's raw into their 90s, man. I mean, the stuff those guys went through during that war, I don't think we appreciate it. Mm. We're young punks who grew up in the 80s who had no connection to World War II. You know what I mean?
Right.
Anyway, next time you see a serviceman, give him five. Slap him on the ass.
And, shake his hand and...
Yeah. Don't slap him on the ass.
Slap him on the ass, yeah.
Don't do that. Anyway.
Give him a big wet willy.
So it reminded me of when I was a kid and I'd see a scary movie and it would wake me up at night. That's what it reminded me of.
Oh, wow.
And I have not had that feeling in decades. So anyway, don't do that. Watch it earlier in the day and then, I don't know, finish the day off with Bob's Burgers or something.
Something light.
Something dumb and fun.
I'm surprised I haven't been having prison dreams because Tina and I have been watching, we've been binge watching Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yeah.
We're 10 of 13
achieved. Yeah.
So
the new one, the old season or the new season?
No, the brand new season.
Oh, okay. I'm not caught up quite with the old one, so I need to
Oh, yeah, get caught up.
I'm having this problem. Netflix stuff that's original, because I know it's all there and ready anytime.
And will always be there. Yeah.
It stops me. It's weird. I wonder if anyone else goes through this.
Because sure. Well, no, it makes sense, because you look at it and say, oh, you know, Olympus Has Fallen might be gone in a month, but Orange Is the New Black is going to be there forever. I'll watch Olympus Has Fallen.
That's exactly it. And it's in
which is what we watched last night too.
Oh, you did? That movie's fun, isn't it?
It is fun. It's Die Hard in the White House.
Yeah, it's super dumb, but it's real fun. Yeah. I like that movie. That's how I felt about Safe. But that's another good example. It's like, you know, we could watch an episode of House of Cards finally, but we don't know how long Safe's going to be here.
Right.
So let's see that, because House of Cards ain't going nowhere. It's a weird phenomenon. I wonder how many other people are like that, or if I'm just weird. I don't know.
I know the Valentines consumed all 13 episodes in about 13 hours as soon as they were released.
Good Lord. Did he play? He must have played Diablo that entire time, because he's always in there. You should see his character. That guy is a maniac, JJ. We should have asked him about it yesterday. He's a complete and utter maniac. He's running on Torment 6, highest difficulty.
Wow.
Dude is decked out with every possible piece of amazing gear you can imagine. He's like Paragon level 280 or something. You have no idea how long that takes. It is insane what he's doing. So good on you, JJ.
Yeah.
Enjoy it while you can before twins come. Okay. I think we should call Daryl, because
I don't know.
He's all right. He's a guy. He's a thing. Let's see here. Yeah. We have a theme for him and everything. Check it out right here. It's time for our daily Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by...
After Wednesday's reading of the latest Marvel event or The Batman, why not check out CyclopsComics.com, a new page to read every Sunday, and read the first 9 pages now. That's SEAClopsComics.com, and like it on Facebook.
Nice. Daryl.
Cyclops.
Daryl Skeels is among us. Hello, Daryl.
There is no truth to the Netflix Star Trek rumor. It is fake.
Let's jump to that story real quick. So in the news today, there was a story about Netflix being rumored to get exclusive new Star Trek series. And you're saying there's no truth to it. How do you know this?
Oh, I have sources, and they were all screaming about how this one source that started the rumor was totally wrong and... there's no truth to it at all.
So it's a dude. Wow. It was a dude at Phoenix Comic Con, Star Trek author and producer Larry
Nemechek
has announced. That wasn't even close. has announced that CBS is in talks with Netflix to produce a new series that would air on the streaming service. Set phasers to excited. Okay, here's the update. Nemechek has now posted a rebuttal of the original report, saying he never stated there were ongoing talks about the new Star Trek series. Apparently, there have been overtures in the past. As far as he knows, nothing has happened right now. Boy, I'll bet that guy is caught in a firestorm right now.
Totally, yes.
Somebody quoted him as saying that there would be a new Star Trek. And they I don't even know if they misquoted it or just made it up out of nothing. But he went back to them and said, no, I never said that. This is completely fake.
I have a prediction. And here's how that prediction goes. Okay. You guys can refute it, and anyone out there can tell me I'm up in the night. But I believe, I really truly believe that this will end up happening. It may not be now, maybe a while, I don't know. But I think that executives know that Star Trek as a proposed network television show is not something that has enough legs to last. I think they know that that audience is not the place to put it anymore. The UPN of old is not a viable model. And that if they want to get Star Trek on a regular basis with a regular cast and have guaranteed money for it, that a deal with Netflix would be the way to go. This is all about getting people to sign the right contracts and relinquish the right licensing. And this will end up happening sooner than later, in my opinion. And it may not be Netflix, it could be somebody else. Right now, Netflix has the momentum with the quality and stuff. I mean, they're kind of nailing it with everything they're putting out as original content. Whereas, you know, Hulu stuff is super hit and miss, just kind of garbage. And Amazon streaming is doing really well, but their original content is poop on a stick. So I think the real money and the real momentum is with Netflix. And so if they do it there, I just wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't be. I think they could totally pull this off. So Yes, this is all rumor. Yes, it all has been debunked. Yes, this isn't the time, but I promise you this is coming. I am certain of it. What will not happen is, hey, CBS has got a new Star Trek series. There's no way. No way CBS proper has a Star Trek show. There's not a chance that that happens. Not on network television. Cable, maybe, but then who's going to run that? I just don't see it. I think this ends up on Netflix, and it's a huge deal for Netflix. That's what I think. All right.
Okay. Yeah, that would be good.
It would be good. We would all be happy about this.
There's billions slipping through the fingers of CBS. I don't know why something's not happening.
I know, right? That's the other thing is this is guaranteed money for that franchise. They've got the movies. Those are going to continue to do gangbusters, and they run in this, you know, Kirk universe and Let It Go. That can go and be awesome and keep going. Do a new Next Generation era thing or something on this deal where you've got dedicated and rabid fans who are already sort of skewed toward this kind of content anyway. And it's guaranteed money. It's not like you got to go, oh, we didn't get enough viewers. I mean, Netflix may say, well, you only streamed about 100 people. So sorry, we're not renewing. but that's not going to happen. It's going to be enormous. So yeah, mark my words. It's coming. Okay. In the Next Generation episode, Daryl, this is how your question starts this fine day. Time squared, Commander Riker is cooking a meal for Worf, Pulaski, Geordi, and Data. Dr. Pulaski brings a bottle of ale to the meal. What planet does she say this ale came from? All right, so there's your question. The answers are one of the following. Terlina 3, these are planets. Mordin 4, Enan 6, or Brakkus 5. Brakkus 5 is my favorite boy band from 1992.
They were great. I love their song, Girl, I'm Gonna Get You, Girl.
Yeah, that was a good one, right?
That was my favorite.
I love that would work for any boy band ever. So, Daryl, while you can contemplate these answers and think about it real hard, let's do this again right here. That's not the right file. There it is right here. Nope, that's not it either. Here we go.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Shut up, fool!
All right, here we go. It's it's test one of these here taffies.
I'm glad it's growing.
We'll just keep adding one on to the end, like 12 Days of Christmas.
Sure.
So I'm grabbing randomly what looks to be orange, and there is nothing else to say. A more flesh tone. There's no other color in it.
Mine is orange with a little white white center.
Racist.
I grabbed the same. It looks like it's flesh colored.
Really?
Orange with a white center is my alternate Orange is the New Black title. Because that's about right.
That's about right.
All right, I'm pulling this up here. Here we go.
That would be weird if out of this bag of thousands, we both chose the same one.
You know, that would be weird. That's our chance at a lottery that we just blew on a freaking taffy grab. That's how I look at that thing. Is anytime you do something super lucky or happenstancy, then you lose your chance at lottery winning.
No. They say that's when you're supposed to go buy a lottery ticket.
Wow. Really? Because I feel like you just blew your chance. Like that was your lucky thing.
Oh, no.
Hmm. Well, I've been doing it wrong. Okay, this is clearly creamsicle. If that's not creamsicle, I'll leave my hat. Yeah, I don't have white in the middle, though.
Well, I totally do.
It seems like you would. That's what you got is correct for creamsicle.
Right, because it's a mixture of orange and vanilla.
Mm-hmm. This is more like Orange Julius. Daryl has the loudest taffy eating of all of us.
I don't know what it is. I think it's good. Sort of.
Why?
I'm just not sure. It's like somebody spilled a fruit drink on the floor and then mopped it up with cardboard, and now I'm eating it.
Mm. Maybe that one was made in 1930. It's an old one.
Wasn't this the one where they were all naked or something?
Yeah, that's the one. I like this one. This is quite good.
Mm-hmm.
I like the orange sickle deal.
I totally had orange sickle, and that was a random poll.
Dreamsicle, I guess, is the term, right?
Dreamsicle is the official.
Oh. Wait, though, from like a dude in a truck?
Yeah, the
they call them dreamsicle.
The popsicle is a dreamsicle.
I always just said creamsicle back in the day.
I don't know what the difference is. I've heard that term, too, and I'd been corrected when I said, oh, this is like a creamsicle, and somebody said, dreamsicle.
You know, back when I could eat such things. Those days. Oh, those were good days. Oh, that's it's just so yummy.
Oh, that's tender.
Yeah, tender.
Oh. So Creamsicle is the one made by Popsicle.
Popsicle brand.
Yeah. Let's see what Dreamsicle.
Popsicle's like Band-Aid and Kleenex, aren't they? They got that kind of brand name going on. Or people just assume it's the thing.
Wow. Okay. You ready for the difference? This is crazy.
Go.
The difference between a creamsicle and a dreamsicle. The sherbet-like shell of the creamsicle is identical to that of the dreamsicle, but the payoff inside is ice cream in the former, ice milk in the latter. So creamsicle has ice cream, dreamsicle has ice milk.
Wow.
That gave me goose pimples right there.
I know. There you go. Me too.
All right. Well,
interesting.
That was good, though. I liked it.
Yeah.
The taffy continues to be a good deal here, and we got more coming. I just sent addresses to a bunch of new requests. So
more taffy. Oh,
well, I don't know about taffy, but more regional delights from around the country.
Good, good, good.
TheMorningStream@gmail.com is where you can send those to. Okay, well, you can send the request to. You can't send the food there. That's an email address, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, that would be weird.
Daryl Skeels, your chance now to tell us who is born today in Star Trek Man Land.
That would be Vijay Suzuki. He's 27 today. He played a red shirt on Into Darkness.
He also had my favorite late night MTV show called Kicking It.
I remember him and Martha Quinn and
Kicking It with Vijay Suzuki at midnight.
Spinning the motorcycle.
That's great. Right. All right. Well, what? And he's how old?
27.
No, he's young. Jeez, that's a child, as far as I'm concerned. Well, he's Terpster's age. Let's put it that way. That'll help you put some perspective on it. All right. Well, by the way, I was just going to say something about Star Trek and E3. What was I going to say? Oh, shoot. I had a thing to say about that I saw yesterday or heard about yesterday. Ah, crap. Did you guys watch that Nintendo thing at all? Brian, did you see that?
No, I missed it again.
It was really interesting. They basically documentary style made a presentation, and I kind of think I preferred it. I think I like that better than live stage presentations. Yeah.
Oh, so instead of actually having somebody on stage, they did that.
Yeah, they just did a video that was really well produced and had all these segments and talked about all their games. I mean, it was kind of the same kind of structure, except just a lot more like documentary style interviews with devs and
same content, but just presented in a
much more, I don't know. I really liked it. I kind of think their philosophy is a good one. I know there are people that really like the awkward goof of the stage, and I guess I kind of do too for the stupidness they pull off, but there's plenty of stupid in the Nintendo video too. I don't know. I thought it was good, but I kind of wish they all did this now that I've seen it. It might be worth watching. You may want to watch it. And I also think I'm getting a Wii U. Anyway.
Oh boy.
Let's get to the let's get back to the meat of the subject here, which is this here question about this here planet.
Well, I mean, they did. I did see something about a Mario or a Zelda game or something that might be the thing that pushes me to get a Wii U. That is the big deciding factor, isn't it?
The Zelda game looks amazing.
Yeah,
it looks really incredible. There's some other stuff there too that looks really good, but I think I'm already sold on Mario 3D Land and Mario, or what is it, 3D World or whatever, and Mario Kart, and those are already out. So it's enough for me to know that amazing Zelda game's coming next year that I can just go ahead and do it. All right, Daryl, let's get back to it. To it. This here Times Squared episode. You get your Riker, you get your Worf, Pulaski, Geordi, and Data, and she says she brought her beer or whatever the hell it was from another planet, and she said it was either Terlina 3, Morden 4, Enan 6, and Brachus 5. What do you say? Which one?
Oh, let's see here. This is going to be a guess. This was a good episode.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
Brachus 5. That's also BA's planet.
Yeah, BA Brachus' home planet.
Mm-hmm. That's where he's from.
Where the national anthem is, I pity the fool.
And there's nowhere to travel.
Yeah, and shut up, fool.
Shut up, fool!
And what else do they do? That's it. They're afraid. Yeah, there's no air travel. That's a good one. They only drive black vans with red stripes on them, and they
gold chain store on every corner.
Yeah, I ain't getting on no plane. Hannibal is their national theme. And what's their bird? They have a bird. Their national bird would be
something flightless.
Something flightless. And their favorite movie is Rocky III. All right, there you
Perfect.
Go.
Perfect.
Perfect. Nailed it. And they love their mothers.
Yes.
Right? Because remember that song? That rap he did?
Yeah.
Treat like your mother ball. Right.
Yes.
Treat her right.
We played that here on the show at one point or another.
Yeah. Mr. T, mother. Here, I'm going to play just a taste. Here you go. Treat your mother right.
You're so ugly.
Hold on.
You putting out mothers all over the world.
Treat your mother right. Treat her right. Treat her right. Let's hear Mr. T sing. Here we go.
Mother.
Oh, yeah.
There is no other.
Mother. There is no other. All right. So.
Friends with brother.
You were deliberating.
Yeah. You could call it that. I'm going to cross out that. And I'm going to cross out Mordon 4.
Yeah.
Terlina 3. Enon 6.
Terlina 3.
6. That'd be like way far away from its star. It'd be really cold there.
That's how they do it, right? Mm. The numbers,
maybe
I mean.
Maybe that's perfect brewing conditions for ale.
Or ale. Maybe, ale. Yeah. Ale ages best when we're furthest from our sun. Sounds about right.
I don't know. This will be a guess. I'm only going to guess this because when I wrote this down, I was trying to write real fast and skipped over this one to write Rakkus 5. So I'll say Enon 6.
Enon 6. Enon 6.
This is going to be wrong.
Is it VI? Enon 6. Well, let's find out. Judges, is it?
Congratulations! You're a winner!
He got it. Says ale comes from Enon 6. Data says the way Riker is cooking is inefficient. He makes them use some Owan egg omelets. I don't know what that means. Worf is the only one to really like them. Here's a clip of that going on. So here you go. Right here.
The good doctor bearing gifts.
Ale from Enon 6. Your omelets deserve no less.
This is not an efficient method for the preparation of sustenance.
Oh, you're right, Data. The ship's computer would be more efficient, but it wouldn't allow for the subtlety needed for great cooking. It would give you all of the ingredients in predetermined measurements. It wouldn't allow for flair or individuality. A cook is only as good as his ingredients.
Shut up, Riker.
Some Worf mastication at the end. Nice.
And we should give him some of these candies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like today's question was actually hard, and Daryl earned this one, man.
Fell right into it, yeah.
Nicely done.
Wow.
As opposed to all the easy lobbed softballs we've been getting from Iceworm lately. I keep saying that as hoping it will hint him into making harder questions. It's Daryl Skeels. He is the Trek nerd on Twitter. Follow him. He's also on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And now Daryl will shower us with what he can only describe as a weird quiz. Go.
Okay. Is this a Unix command or a Star Trek alien?
Your theme today is here.
Aww.
Capcom. What was it again? I already missed it. Forgot.
Unix command or Star Trek alien.
Unix command or Star Trek alien.
Melkot.
What? Say that again. Melkot?
Melkot.
Melkot. Can you spell it?
M-E-L-K-O-T.
Melkot.
Melkot. That's pretty much how I would have spelled it.
I would have too.
Let's, I would probably personally lean towards alien on this one.
Yeah, that feels alien to me. Mm-hmm. We'll say alien.
And it is.
Yeah, that's right. Going with the instincts. Daryl's
kicking
getting them right.
With these Unix commands.
I know, we're kicking A. It's a nice job. Grep. I can't wait till he does grep.
Print screen.
Because that seems like an easy one to me.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Two Guys, Two Assignments. Join Matt and Frank each week as they dive into the depths of geeky pop culture, challenging each other to the best or worst in comics, games, TV, and movies. Listen in as they defend why they love it or want to kill it with fire each week on Battle Geeks. Check us out over at battlegeeks.com. That's Battle Geeks with a Z.
actually think you really helped make that point that it's a Z.
You think so? Yeah. Do you think that maybe it was redundant for me to say with a Z?
Nailed it, as far as I'm concerned. Nailed it. So we already talked about this Star Trek rumor, so I'm going to substitute with something you don't even know about.
Sure. Ooh, a surprise news story.
So here it is.
It doesn't matter. I don't look ahead at these things anyway.
Oh, I don't even
know. I'm as surprised as you are, listeners, dear listeners.
Yeah. So here you go. How about this one? Well, that one's interesting, but I'm not going to do it because it's about a moose and that's boring. So here you go.
Hey, Rocky.
Cannabis lube. It's all the rage.
You had me at cannabis lube.
We'll give you a real internal high, it says here.
Of course.
This is from, who's making it? It's got to be Colorado. You guys are
either Colorado or Washington.
Because you guys are going crazy with this stuff. Oh, no. You know what? It's California. Interesting. Oh. Don't end your night high and dry, it says. Oh, jeez. Get your new cannabis oil-infused lube for, let's see. Oh, I don't want to read that part. That's no good for the show. It'll either make you really happy or crave Taco Bell, it says. We're not sure. But the Nerve reports that Foria's vagina-safe concoction, if you got kids in the car, I apologize, will actually get women high. Uses cannabis oil that contains THC and other cannabinoids.
Cannabinoids? Look at the other brands have NSFV on the on the label. Stay away from those, our competitors.
This says this product works specifically for women. Mm. I don't want to read that part either. All right, skipping ahead. 88 bottles.
An article that you can only read. I can barely read.
I feel like we're going to get too many emails. It says if you're one of the lucky few that are have access to this stuff, you're going to pay for this tiny bottle, $88 a bottle.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Use with caution, it says. This is not an FDA approved thing. And because you don't, if you already eat or smoke marijuana, the lube might be bad because you would be tripling your intake there.
Right. How many guys do you think at the end of the night, you know, their little dime bag is empty and they're sitting there looking at their rolling papers and saying, well, we've got some cannabis lube in the other room. Let's give that a shot.
Look, when you run out of your sweet ganja, you go with whatever you can get. Okay, I'll give you this one more here.
All right.
One more mystery one. The Waffle House, you know, the chain of Waffle Houses.
Yeah, it's every exit in the South has one.
Yep, they all have. You have to. It's a law. Yeah. Yep.
That's right.
Waffle House denies a waitress a $1,000 tip. This sucks.
Oh.
Shiana Brown was her name. During a night shift on Mother's Day in North Carolina, the Waffle House waitress received an extraordinary tip from a humble benefactor. The man, who has not been named, wanted to leave $1,000 for Brown. And an additional $500 he wanted her to share with another customer in the Raleigh restaurant. So, like, you know, pay for somebody else's meals and stuff.
Right, and their tip.
So the patron wrote a $1,500 number on the tip line before he left the restaurant. Brown was overjoyed at receiving the gift. She then learned it was not in Waffle House's policy to let her keep such a generous tip. Waffle House policy dictates they put the dick in dictate. Large tip charges on a credit card are automatically returned to the customer. In an email to the Huffington Post, they explained this. When a guest makes a tip of that size, it is our procedure to refund the tip amount and ask the guest to make the tip in either cash or a check. We follow this procedure in the event the customer decides to dispute the credit card charge and ask for a refund for the tip amount later. It makes sense. This isn't like them keeping it. You know, it's not like, oh, no, if it's 1,000, we get it. It's not like that.
Right. Yeah.
So I kind of get it.
Yeah, but so what is their, does it say what their cutoff line is? Like, can you do $249.99 tip on a?
Oh, good question. Probably.
On a chip? Yeah. I
mean, probably.
It
says here that had he done cash, there would be no problem. This would all be over.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess.
An ironic name. I was thinking the same thing. Ironic name says the tipper was Nick Cage and the waitress was Bridget Fonda, right? Is that what we're getting at? Is that the? Is that where we're going with this?
That is exactly where we're going.
Yes.
And then somehow Woody Harrelson's trying to sell his wife for $1 million.
Something like that.
Something like that. Alexander Imich has died. Oh, you don't know him? You don't know? You haven't heard of this guy?
I don't know who that is.
Well, he was the oldest living man, Brian.
Oh.
And a paranormal expert. has died at 111 years old and now haunts us from paranormal land, right?
Whoa, that's 1/6 of 666.
That's right. Ooh, gosh dang it. What have we done? We've cracked the seal. Alexander Imich, who was recently declared the oldest living man, died on Sunday in New York at the age of 111. I didn't realize we had an American in the post of oldest man.
No, wow.
In my life, it's usually Japanese dude or something.
Yeah, right.
In my life, I have witnessed the development of flight, the automobile, electrification of nations, the electrification of nations.
Electrification of nations.
The telephone, the radio, television, atomic energy, the wonders of bioscientific medicine, computer technology, great advances in our knowledge of the cosmos, men walking on the moon, and the list could go on and on, unquote.
And ALF.
Yes.
I was and there ALF. To witness the dawn of ALF.
I saw all of it. ALF came and went.
Imich, now I'm ready to die.
Imich said this all at the age of 99, according to a recent profile of him on chabad.org. He was born February 4th, 1903 in Poland. That's crazy.
Wow.
No cars then either. It's all like wagons and horses and shit.
Right, right.
Imich and his wife, Wila, fled the country in 39 when the Nazis took over. Oh, those Nazis.
Those darn Nazis.
I know. In Russia, they refused Soviet citizenship.
Actually, they probably would. If they would have had a marketing guy who said, pronounce it Nazi, they might have actually done better. Because doesn't that sound like a kinder?
It does, you know, right? Oh, yeah. The Nazis.
Oh, the Nazis.
It's kind of cuddly, right?
Totally.
Nazi is not cuddly.
No.
Nazi's crazy. Oh, Nazi. Let's see. They were denied citizenship, or they refused Soviet citizenship and were sent to the Gulag. According to the New York Times, I don't even know what a gulag is. I assume it's a prison, but movies have never really shown me.
Isn't it?
I guess. Yeah. Is there one, though? Like the gulag, or is there many gulags?
No, I think they come in six packs. You can get a six pack of gulag.
a big heaping bottle of gulag.
The government agency that administrated the main Soviet forced labor camp systems during the Stalin era from the 1930s until the 1950s.
Wow. All right. Thanks, Stalin.
So it's more of a forced labor camp than a prison.
He's the tyrant that just keeps on giving.
Labor camp.
Let's see. When he emerged from the camp after World War II, Imich learned that many of his family members had perished in the Holocaust. The couple emigrated to the United States in 51. He became the oldest living man on April 24th when Arturo Licata of Italy died a little more than a week before his 112th birthday. Imich told Guinness World Records that his motto is, that one should, quote, always pursue what one loves and is passionate about. And in his case, it was ghosts and aliens.
Nice.
Yeah, I guess so. That's fine.
Hey, whatever floats your boat. Sure.
Sure.
Dude.
Whatever keeps you going at 111.
Hey, the truth is out there.
What's great is he still had his wits. Like still, I mean, other than, you know, he may have had an unreasonable, irrational.
I want to believe. Get that cigarette smoking man out of my room.
I like that in your world, it was all X-Files level stuff. Yeah. Mitch Pileggi was his neighbor.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, he had a porn problem. Yeah, all that. he seemed to be pretty with it other than his irrational belief in aliens, but still, that's good. Hey. Whatever. And I'm not saying
proof.
You can't
show
believe
me proof
in
they don't exist,
here's
right?
Here's what I believe. I believe there are plenty of other... There are likely infinite planets
be.
With life
exactly.
forms similar
there would
to
have
ours.
To be in
yeah,
this infinite universe.
But they're not poking me in the butt with a probe with giant green eyes. That I do not believe. That is not happening.
Well, if there are infinite aliens, Scott, then there would have to be some that
not poke
big,
not in this
big
not
in
my
green,
universe.
In the butt with green
in
eyes.
An alternate reality timeline, there is a version of me with a mustache, and he's got a probe up his butt right now from an alien, but not me. Not this one. Not this timeline.
All right. Okay. All right.
HelloFresh.com sponsoring today's program, and you know them and you love them. Got a call, a little sort of nerdtacular. You know, we have these planning meetings every week about what's going on, how close are we, what are we doing. And I was talking to Dave Michael yesterday, and he was in the middle of cooking his. And he is absolutely freaking sold on these guys. Like, he thinks they're the greatest sponsor of all time. And I kind of agree. They're pretty rad. You can check out what they have this week and what farm fresh ingredients will be delivered to your door simply and easily by going to HelloFresh.com. Use the code MorningStream at checkout for 50% off for your first time order. And it's amazing stuff. Go get it now.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
The secret frog pants item that Fantasy Coin is working on. soon to be at fantasycoinhq.com, but isn't there right now. Bye-bye.
No, ma'am.
They actually put that in the thing, by the way, people.
That's what he does. That's how we do.
The little birdum, bye-bye.
I may have eaten it.
Do you know what this is? Do you know what the secret frog pants item?
I have no idea.
Cool. I love it when love it when even you're caught off guard by something like this.
I have no idea, so I'm going to be surprised as anybody when we get to get to Snowbird in a month. Oh, sorry, 3 weeks or whatever it is.
Yep, that's all right. You know, stuff is happening here with Frog Pants All Stars. There's a constant parade of films passing through my desk. Look at these Netflix envelopes I'm sending back today.
Wow,
for the video rounds.
That's great.
Coming together, baby.
Look at you. Okay.
Yep.
I'm people, a little behind.
And people who want to play can. There's probably a spot or two left.
I think
if you
there's
want to
one
be
left.
A,
I think one left.
Really? Yeah. One Frog Pants All-Star.
Yep. What's vacancy. That URL again? Tiny.cc what?
Tiny.cc Frog Stars, I believe.
Okay. And if there's one left, then you better jump on it, folks, because they went quick yesterday. Wow. And cool. You want to be on a Frog Pants All-Stars team. And
show how
up.
Smart you are.
Yeah. Get up on stage. Yeah. Don't be nervous. We're all idiots.
Oh,
so
God, yeah.
Don't worry about us.
And if you want, we won't put you right next to Veronica so okay. that when she misses a question and gets angry.
Yeah, she won't stab you with a pin won't. In the neck.
Veronica smash!
She gets real hulky when she's losing. Very competitive, her. Game of Thrones, it's this deal on HBO. People are into
it's
it.
It's that show, right? With the, there's like a, it's Boobies and Dragons.
Yeah,
is what
Boobies
it is.
And Dragons. Yeah. That's yeah. the, the books were called Boobies and Dragons, but they shortened right. it to Game of Thrones.
A Song of Boobies and Dragons.
Game of Thrones, the showrunners, after your last week's incredible episode.
Yeah.
Boy, and you know, you forgot that they stayed in one place that whole episode. You realize that?
Yeah. Yeah. I heard about that Entertainment Weekly before the show. And so I was thinking, why did they waste all that time with the intro music and the map? You're flying over the map. Just show me one place. Yeah. Show me Kit Harington's name and get to the show.
And they showed one. They showed a city that they haven't showed either in a long time or at all, but didn't go there. It was right. funny. It was kind of right. weird that they didn't.
I saw that too. I was wondering about that. Okay. I wonder if that was mentioned or something.
I don't know. They may have mentioned it, or maybe that's where, I mean, that was north of, or it was left or east of King's Landing. I don't know. Yeah. I pay big attention to that intro. Every time.
Love that. That's the only opening show sequence that I always watch and I don't fast forward through.
Yep. I never skip it. I never skip Bob's Burgers because they always have the funny neighbor
right.
thing.
Right.
And it's short. So I always yes. watch that.
Yeah. It takes five
and I
seconds.
Hate it when Netflix thinks I want to skip it and do that auto skip. That pisses me off in that case. Yeah. But yeah. most cases I appreciate it. It's like, yeah, I don't watch this again.
Yeah.
By the way, the longest intro in the history of intros has got to be Band of Brothers. Good Lord.
Oh, really?
It's literally two minutes and 35 seconds.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm not making that up.
Enterprise might have it beat.
Yeah. That's pretty
it
bad.
It just feels long.
Yeah. It's pretty long. So, and I did not know. What's the Robin Williams movie where he's the doctor?
Patch Adams?
Patch Adams' credits music is that song from Enterprise.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And it came first.
You know, if you listen to Coverville more often, then you'd know that.
I think I've got spotty. I have spotty recollection of what I hear on podcasts. But
I was going to say, so, you know, it's 1,035 episodes. You can't be expecting
to
remember
a lot. I wonder how many, you know what, I'd like emails or tweets from you guys saying how many episodes of TMS have you actually listened to? Have you listened to all 620 or whatever we're at?
Right.
Did you only catch
Daniel
up last week? Yeah, we know Daniel has. We are aware of that. And again, it's very split. Got emails yesterday. Can't stand the Daniel segment. And then somebody else came on. Love the Daniel segment. Like
right.
One Daryl's email after
big,
another.
Daryl's a big supporter of the Daniel segment.
Yeah, he likes it. Hey, Mikey. All right. Dame of Thrones. she walked into my office, see?
Dame of Thrones. She's lying.
Yeah. She's lying. Oh, my gosh. Can we play that one more time? I just want to play it one more time. Hold on. Where is it? Here it is.
Don't listen to him, Gloria. He's lying.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, Patrick
Sir
Stewart.
Sir Patrick
is there,
Stewart.
Is there one thing you can't do?
We found it. Every Death Star has its tiny hole for Luke to shoot things through. And that was it. All right. Game of Thrones showrunners promised this to be the best finale yet, and that's this weekend. Don't forget, 10 episodes, all you get of this business.
Believe me.
The Battle of Castle Rock, or Castle Black, rather, has been the biggest action set piece of Game of Thrones history and probably TV history as well. I don't know. I felt like the Black Bay thing, or Blackwater deal was pretty big.
That was pretty big. Although this was, I mean, this was just...
It felt big, but also it wasn't that big. I mean, they showed big crowd shot, but most of the action happened kind of right up in your face with the bald cannibal guys.
There was a beautiful single camera sweep, 360 sweep, where you see all the action going on.
That was good.
It was just brilliant. Yeah. So well done. And it didn't feel like, all right, as soon as the camera comes on you, that's when your action starts. I mean, it felt like you just happened to catch this bit of action. Yeah. And this bit of action over here is so well done.
I'll tell you what that episode needed. Needed a couple of floodlights and maybe a flashlight or two. That's all I'm saying.
A little dark, you think?
Yeah, a little dark. Yeah. I mean, you can hide, and also that's a great way to hide kind of your budgetary limitations is to do all that stuff like those the giants and the walruses, freaking the mammoths looked amazing, right? They are not spoilers, guys. They're just in a thing. Okay, calm down already. They're not spoilers. All right. Hey, Brian, guess what? There's people in movies. Guess what?
Oh, no. Oh, you just ruined it for me.
There's lightsabers in Star Wars. So they said that the... But next Sunday's Hour HBO will be the show's best episode ever. And this is what they're saying. Titled The Children, the 10th episode of the 4th season will break a narrative pattern that has been set by shows in previous years. Usually the 9th episode contains a major character death or battle, and then the finality is a quieter hour. That's true, by their standards. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that wraps some storylines up while launching other threads into the next season. Expect the children to check in with all the key characters for some very major drama to unfold. Ooh. It is the best finale we've ever done, bar none. Thrones showrunners David Benioff and Dan Weiss said in a statement. The performances from our cast, the direction from Alex Graves, the visual effects work, the new music cues from Ramin Djawadi, who really honestly has penned... perhaps the finest show intro music of all time.
I think so. Yeah.
And is a protege of, what's his name? German dude. Oh, gosh. Inception Man, Batman soundtrack.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I can't remember his name.
He did the Hans Zimmer.
Hans Zimmer, yes. There we go.
That really hurt to get out. He did this right here. The main theme from the Pacific. I'll skip ahead. That's also a good intro. In fact, it might be my second favorite behind. Anyway, point is, it's supposed to be amazing. And it says all of it came together in perhaps the finest hour we've ever produced. We're immensely proud of the children and a little intimidated by the episode because now we have to get back to the business of season 5 and figure out a way to top it. That has me all colors of excited.
Yeah.
Bring on Sunday. I can't wait.
Oh, no kidding. Can't believe it's over so soon. You know, you want to top season 4's finale, then start season 5's first episode in September.
Yeah, how about that?
Make it 23 episode seasons or something like that. Come on, give us something.
Whip that cast into shape. Those kids aren't getting any younger.
Right.
Let's get on this. Yeah, Bran Stark is like going to be in his 20s.
Where's that three-eyed crow?
Hodor's like, Hodor can't carry you anymore. It'll be his first non-Hodor words. Marvel and Netflix. You're familiar with them?
I've heard of those two. They're two, they do media stuff, right?
They do. That's my understanding. They have brought Vincent D'Onofrio in as Daredevil's new kingpin for their little miniseries they're going to be running there. And that's exciting because D'Onofrio is cool.
D'Onofrio. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
You know, all right, so you and I both watched Popeye recently.
Yeah.
The old Robin Williams thing. Wouldn't the guy, the boxer that Popeye fights, have made a perfect kingpin?
Oh, yes, and I thought of it when I saw him. That's funny you should say that, because he looks like Kingpin.
He looks like Kingpin.
Mommy, mommy, my mommy. Whatever he said. I can't wait until Film Sag on Sunday. We got to talk about this movie.
Yes.
But, yeah, that guy would have been... he's dead, by the way. I checked him.
Then. Did you really?
Yeah. It's funny, because most of the actors in that movie are still alive, but he's dead.
Interesting.
Because he's huge and probably had heart problems.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
58 or something. He's a little bit young. And the first ever acting role of Linda Hunt. Can you believe that?
Yeah, right.
And
the first movie role for Robin Williams.
Has she gotten older at all? Like
Linda she Hunt's is. The I mean, same. She looks like the same age as,
I love her. I love watching her do things. She's amazing to me. Even that small role. Let's see. So he's best known for his Law and Order and Criminal Intent show. Plays the character Wilton Fisk over there. He was also in Men in Black, the first one.
Wilton? Yeah. It says Wilton. Isn't it Wilson Fisk?
Yeah, it's Wilton is what it says. I have not seen Criminal Intent very much, so I couldn't say.
No. The Kingpin's real name.
Oh, we'll play Wilton Fisk. Oh, okay, yeah, because that's Kingpin's name. Oh, jeez. Yeah. Is it Wilton or Wilson?
I thought it's Wilson. Wilson!
Could be Bluto or Brutus.
Hold on a second.
All right, you look that up.
I'm looking it up. You go ahead.
He is described as a powerful businessman whose interests in the future of Hell's Kitchen.
Wilson.
Is it Wilson?
Yeah.
Well, they screwed up here then.
They did. Come on, people. Come on, hit fix.
Your whole
article is suspect now.
Fisk is better known to most fans of Daredevil and Amazing Spider-Man comic books as the Kingpin, and not to this writer who had it as Wilton. The studio purposely did not refer to the character by his nickname, which is an interesting choice for the series. Jeff Loeb said, "We're incredibly proud to have an actor." Oh, and then he said it right. In this iconic role.
Jeff Loeb's quote has it right.
Yeah, of course it does. Jeez.
Come on, people.
Marvel's Daredevil is officially described as the journey of Matt Murdock, who was blinded as a young boy, imbued with powers or with extraordinary senses, now fighting against injustice by day as a lawyer. Injustice by day as a lawyer and by night as a superhero Daredevil in a modern day Hell's Kitchen, New York City. Hit Fix wonders what crimes he'll have to solve in modern days Hell's Kitchen, but we'll save that for our friends at Riot Films. All right, anyway. It's exciting.
I'm holding up my Kingpin lead figurine, which is easily the heaviest of the lead figures. This thing is actually, I would guess.
How appropriate.
Yeah. I mean, it's solid lead.
Let's see.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's lead and then just painted?
That's lead just painted. And it's
that's amazing.
Yeah,
I'm not sure D'Onofrio's big enough. Maybe he's gotten kind of big lately. Because when he was in Men in Black as the possessed alien thing, he was skinny. So
right. Oh, holy cow! Good point. Ironic name. He played Vincent D'Onofrio played sort of pseudo Thor in that Adventures in Babysitting. Remember, he's like they wander into this mechanics.
Oh, that was him.
And he's pounding this giant hammer, and he's got long blonde hair. And
oh, that's right. I didn't know that was him until you just said it. Now it's all ringing.
Yeah.
Huh. Adventures in Babysitting. That was a movie for sure.
Come on, Elizabeth Shue, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked her.
Never looked better.
Yeah, she looked good then. What's she doing now? You know, she's going to talent.
She's doing CSI.
Oh, well. Yeah, it's where they all go to die.
Last stop. Since there's no more Touched by an Angel, your last stop is now CSI.
Yep. No more Seventh Heaven.
That's what it was. Yeah, Seventh Heaven.
Either way. TweakedAudio.com is sponsoring the show. You want to listen to your favorite podcasts, and you want to do it in style. You want to do it with great sound and compatibility. You want to do it without fear of many problems because they got lifetime warranties. Well, then Tweaked Audio is your place. Stream is your code. 33% off is your discount. At tweakedaudio.com. We're going to take a break. We're going to do it with a song. And when we come back, we'll have Nicole, we'll have Tom, and we'll have more. Brian, what's our song?
All right. Well, this one's going out to Colin. Says, boy, it's a long one. I'm already stumbling. You may remember that on the 16th of April, I requested a song be played on TMS. To sum up that request, it was to celebrate the fact that I'd finally been given a job interview a year after leaving university. And after receiving over 100 job application rejections, my university degree was in radio. And here in the UK, jobs within the creative media industries are few and far between. Unfortunately, after a five-hour drive and an hour interview, I did not get the job, and I was piped to the post by someone who had just a bit more experience than me.
Piped to the post.
Piped to the post. I like that.
That's amazing.
Although it was a setback on my journey to a career within radio, it did not discourage me, and my passion for the radio industry still remains as strong as ever. On that day, I requested a cover of Strangers Like Me by Phil Collins, and as usual, Brian delivered the goods. But now on the 11th of June.
I love that song, by the way. That was one of my favorite covers you've ever played.
It's really good. Yeah. But now on the 11th of June, I once again have a fantastic opportunity. I won't go into details, but it is placement within the BBC, which is a dream position for me. On this day, I'll be attending an assessment day, which will involve an individual and group exercise. I'm extremely nervous and excited at the same time. And if it's at all possible on this day, I would really appreciate a song being played for me. One of my favorite bands is Angels and Airwaves, and I don't believe I've heard them mentioned on the show before. My favorite song by them is Everything's Magic, which is from their second album, I, Empire. I'd love to hear this song played on the 11th, as it always fills me with hope and happiness. Of course, I realize Mr. Ibbotson is the cover man, so if he can't bend the rules for me, any cover by Angels and Airwaves or of them would be also fantastic. Let's see here. He was a couple months behind on TMS, so if we could take a two-week holiday, that would be very much appreciated. At this rate, I'll be listening to Nerdtacular Highlights in December. Thanks, and as always, keep up the great work, Colin.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll be a little spotty that weekend, that week, right, leading up and from. So you'll have a few right, days of a break.
Exactly.
I can promise you that.
Pipped. Ironic name says that it's pipped to the post, even though it's spelled P-I-P. ED, or at least in this email. It's
pipped to the post, meaning beaten to the finish
line.
Okay.
Pipped to the post. I love that. Yeah, so how about a cover for Colin? And or not a cover, how about a song for Colin? I was about ready to look for a cover by Angels and Airwaves, and then I heard this song and I said, you know what? This is a fantastic, uplifting, fun song. Let's enjoy it. This is from their album I, Empire. It is Angels and Airwaves and Everything's Magic.
Do you ever feel like you're alone? And do You know, Tide's made some amazing changes in wash day. Take the old problem of soap film. Tide's banished it forever. And that one fact made this whole idea of no rinsing practical. So if you're one of those women who likes to skip the rinsing, then Tide's for you. For Tide will give you the cleanest no-rinse wash you can get, plus those savings in time and work. Of course, maybe you prefer to rinse. Most women do. Then listen. Tide will get your clothes cleaner than any soap on earth.
Where are you going? Away.
You know, Tom Hanks gets like $5 million to do this all thing.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, but he's Tom Hanks. Come on now.
Yeah, get down from your high horse there, Fletcher. So we're now doing what we do next. And that is,
thank goodness.
That was a cool cover. I liked it.
Yeah.
Well, or not cover, original song, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's nice. Lovely.
Yeah.
Quite enjoyed it. We're going to give Nicole a call.
Okay.
I see that she's up because I see tweets. And tweets are always a sign. Mm-hmm. That something's up, man. So here we go. Yeah, we'll get her. We'll ring her up on the tweeter. And if I can find the freaking... There it is. I found it. Now we can play this. Ladies and gentlemen, join us now with the one, the only, the lovely, the talented, Nicole Spagnuolo. Hello, Nicole.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm getting sick again.
No, oh my it's because you way. Went to that con and you touched people.
I know.
That's what it is, man.
I know. I woke up and my throat's on fire, so I'm just trying to drink a lot of coffee so I can talk today.
Oh, man. This is like the fifth thing in this year or something, isn't
it? I know. What?
Do you take vitamins regularly?
I do. My fingernails are extra long because of it.
You'd think that hot Arizona sun would just burn everything off. Crazy.
Stab sick people to come near you.
Yeah. Well, I am both sorry to hear that, but also happy to know you're here and that we've mm-hmm. got you back this week, and that's
yay.
Good.
Yeah, I couldn't miss a third week. That's
oh yeah,
pod fading here. Well,
that, yeah, it's been a rough couple of weeks without you, but yeah. we're glad to have you back, and you've come bearing baskets full of streaming goodness, I assume.
Yes, I have. And in fact, I don't know if you see the video, but do you see right over my shoulder?
Yeah.
Do you see that?
Yeah,
see that little? It's a little puppy.
Oh, look at the little puppy. Little black, is that a little black lab?
It's a red Doberman.
This is,
close,
hold on, Sansa.
Close, Brian,
you
close.
Named it
come
Sansa.
On, Skype, get with the camera there.
Right, Sansa? That's
Sansa,
the name?
Yep.
All right.
Sansa.
Named after the Game of Thrones there, actor there?
Yep.
I've never heard of a red Doberman.
That's 6 foot five
there's
girl.
There's red and blue and another color called fawn. Yep. Mm. So they're beautiful.
There's some irony in the fact that her name is Sansa. And Sansa's character in Game of... Well, now I'm about to give something away, so never mind.
Yeah, no spoilers!
Oh, come on now.
No, can't do it. I realize that one might actually be considered a spoiler, the one I was going to say. Because it has to do with a dog. But anyway.
Sansa, stop.
Or a wolf. Maybe not a dog.
Okay, all right, stop it.
Maybe a wolf. So, Nicole, it's...
Yes.
What have you today? I'm so excited.
We're here to talk about some streaming movies, and... I'm so behind. Did you guys talk about the whole Netflix, not Netflix, but Amazon Prime getting all the HBO shows?
Oh, at length, oh. Yeah.
At length, and did you talk about your favorites?
Should we talk about that?
No, we've talked about it a ton. That's all I've talked about. Are you kidding? I've watched The Pacific. I watched The Band of Brothers.
Oh, okay, that's true. I guess all that stuff that you're watching is HBO.
Oh, yeah, right. All that stuff. I'm all in on this HBO streaming business.
It's like, well, no, we haven't mentioned it.
Not once.
Well, I thought it would be fun because there are a lot of great shows on now, Amazon Prime, and some of my favorites are available, and I'm curious if you've watched the ones I'm going to recommend.
All right.
But before, well, actually, well, I'll save my Netflix roulette till after this.
Okay.
So the first one I have, I was disappointed that it was only 2 seasons, but it was really awesome 2 seasons.
Mm.
In 2003 was when the first season, oh no, that was the second season. But anyway, Carnival.
Oh, yeah. Weird.
Oh, it's so weird. Nick Stahl plays a guy by the name of Ben, and he joins a traveling carnival Oh, my dog is getting into all kinds of crap.
Well, it is a puppy, you know.
That is what they do.
Stop it. I'll send you back to King's Landing and you'll have to live with Joffrey. Nick Stahl, he's the one that's in all kinds of trouble now.
Is he?
Yeah, he's
like he would be.
He's a mess right now. He's got all kinds of drug arrests and weird stuff.
This was David Lynch, right?
No, this is.
But it feels like David Lynch.
Yeah, very Lynchian. You're, but it's what's. Carlton Cuse worked on this before he worked on Lost.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Trying to find it here.
Why did I think.
Have you seen this, Brian?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, you need to watch it. It's so
good. Well, now that it's on Prime, I think
it also has the voice of Mr. Krabs as like the evil guy.
Yeah, Lance, or no, what's his name? Frack. I got to find his name now because Clancy Brown. He's amazing.
Yeah.
The evil guard. The evil guard in The Shawshank Redemption, that guy.
Yeah. He plays the priest, and I think he's a priest. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, all I think is Mr. Krabs when he talks now.
Yeah. All I ever think of is I used to be really hard for me to separate him from his character in the Highlander. He was the bad guy in the Highlander movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know the one. And he was on Lost as well. A lot of these people ended up on Lost. And the reason is, again, they got connections here with the producer who was
Carlton
Cuse, where he was at least a writer. I can't remember what his full role was, but
yeah, it looks like Ronald D. Moore was one of the executive producers on this.
Yeah.
So if they had a holodeck, then you know there'd be some Sherlock Holmes episodes.
That's right. Sure thing.
So the whole thing, there's a whole supernatural play going on in here and just weird stuff. And Ben Hawkins is his name. He's trying to figure out what's going on. Like, he's getting powers. And on the flip side, the preacher guy is also getting powers. And it's just weird. I don't know how else to describe it. I will say the ending is a little disappointing. Because they ended it thinking they're going to have a third season.
Mm-hmm. This happened with Deadwood. Deadwood ended
totally
dumb.
Right.
You know?
Abruptly.
It wasn't even an ending. It was just like, oh, well, we're probably going to see you again. Everybody, see you next week. And that didn't happen.
Right.
That's kind of what Carnival did.
Carnival was set in what year? It was like an older time, right?
I want to say the 50s?
Maybe.
40s? Something like that?
It was like 20s. That doesn't matter.
Really?
But maybe it definitely is. Definitely a period
maybe piece. My perception of decades is completely off.
You know, the 70s when everyone was a fapper or flapper.
I know not of this human concept called time.
I still haven't seen I have all this knowledge of this show, but I've never seen it. So I'm excited to see it. Yeah.
Wait. Oh, you need to watch it. Yeah. Oh, it's going to hook you. It's cool. It's very Twin Peaky.
Yeah. I'm into this sort of thing. So definitely one I want to watch.
So Amazon Prime says season one is included with Prime Instant. Does that mean that
second
season is not?
Yeah, they're both there.
Yeah. Okay. Everything HBO put up there is all streaming. All of it.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So highly recommend Carnival. It's just awesomely weird.
Yeah.
In fact, I think one of the guys from Twin Peaks is in it.
Oh, yeah?
He's the,
well, the little person.
Yeah, and he's running the carnival.
What's his name?
That gum you like is coming back in style.
What's?
I don't remember.
It's the guy who's in Agent Cooper's dream, the little person who walks and talks backwards in that.
Oh.
In that dream in the fourth episode.
Yeah.
I like that guy.
Yeah.
He's all right.
All right. So, yeah. Watch Carnival. Really weird. Really awesome.
All right. Two seasons, easy peasy, right?
Two seasons.
Cool. Yeah.
Another show that I absolutely love, and it's kind of a given, but maybe you've never heard of it, but it has two seasons as well. Fly of the Conchords.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's all up there.
I mean, even if you've watched it once, it's such a rewatchable show.
I agree. It lands in that space that I would reserve for things like Bob's Burgers.
Yes.
Futurama. There's certain things where you can just see it a billion times and it never bothers you that you're seeing it again.
And of course, there's the Bob's Burgers connection because of Kristen Schaal.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure what's his name's also guest starred once as a voice. Not Brett, the other one.
Right. Jermaine.
I'm pretty sure Jermaine was on once. I could be wrong about that. We just saw the pot one where the Belcher kids aren't working for Bob for the summer and they go off and find this pot farm where those people.
Yeah.
And the guy who's doing the voice of the pot farm head hippie guy is Ron Swanson. What's his name?
Oh, really? Nick Offerman.
Yeah.
Really?
It's such a twist. It's like the complete opposite of Ron Swanson in every way. Yet it's him, and he sings and everything. That is a really funny episode.
That sounds great.
Yeah, really, really good. Anyway. And
good stuff.
Some good Tina moments in there for sure.
Did you see so I was at Phoenix Comic Con over the weekend. Did you see the Belcher Kids?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Like somebody cosplaying?
Amazing cosplay.
Really?
And so there was Tina. I'm going to blank on their names. Jean and Louise. Yep. Louise. So Louise was holding up a sign that had the burger of the day.
Oh, nice.
Oh, no way. That's great because she writes those.
Yeah.
In the show's lore. Yeah. That show was so funny.
Jean was holding a keyboard, and then Louise, or not Louise, but
Tina.
Tina had her notebook.
There are only two shows on TV that make my wife belly laugh out loud, and it's that show and it's New Girl. For whatever reason, those two have the sauce she needs to laugh her head off.
You know, I'm really disappointed. I'm not enjoying this season of Archer.
Oh, I haven't seen any of it.
I kind of just stopped watching it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that surprised me. You were into that.
Mm-hmm. I love that show, but they got tired of doing the show the way that I loved it, and they moved into this like Miami Vice where they're all selling drugs now, and ISIS has been totally disbanded, and they just wanted the writers wanted to try something different. Mm. And I know there are people they're enjoying it. I'm just not enjoying it. I'm kind of like, I think the other thing is they totally gave away the entire season on the first episode. Like the whole episode was just one huge spoiler. Talk about a spoiler.
Oh, really?
It was like I knew what was going to happen just from that. And I'm like, well, why do I need to watch the season? You just told me everything that's going to happen.
Oh, by the way, Carnival. Sorry, just to clear something up. It's set during the Great Depression and Dust Bowl. So this would have been 30s, early 30s.
30s. Yeah. Well, we were both wrong.
We had to meet in the middle, damn it. Yeah. All right. Back. Now we're back.
Yeah.
Where were we? I don't even know what we were saying.
I was just complaining about Archer. Yeah.
Archer sucks, but Carnival good, Archer bad. What was the other thing? There was another one you were talking about.
We were talking about Bog's Burgers.
Flight of the Concords.
Flight of the Concords. That was your other recommendation. Yep.
Yeah.
So totally seasons, worth watching. So good.
Totally worth watching.
Yeah, although I'm not a huge fan of season two. I think season one was a lot better.
They were running thin. I mean, you could tell that season one was like, okay, we've been doing this for many, many years. In fact, when I went to Hawaii, I went to the Polynesian Culture Center.
Yeah.
And our tour guide was from New Zealand. I'm like, oh, do you know Flight of the
Conchords? Oh my gosh, Nicole. You're so weird.
No. I didn't say, do you know him like personally?
Right, no, I know.
I was asking.
Were you in The Hobbit?
I bet they love that over there.
But he was telling me some really interesting stuff like, oh, no, they're a huge deal. And he was telling me that they had tried a number of different tactics to become famous. Mm-hmm. Like, this last one wasn't the first attempt. So they did, like, music and then TV. And they did a whole bunch of different stuff. And you could tell that first season was just, like,
it was a mashup of all of that.
And
it was a lightning in a bottle kind of season where I don't think they really knew what they were hitting on. But that I do like that. Like, hey, next time you're in New York, Nicole, you should say, hey, do you guys know Seinfeld? You should totally do that.
New Zealand is a small country, okay?
I'm in England. Hey, do you guys know Patrick Stewart?
Do you know Gordon
Ramsay? I asked if they knew them personally. Like,
I know.
I wanted to know.
I think it's cute.
I'm so red.
That's fine. Don't be red. Don't be red. All right. So next up.
All right. The next one is a toss-up between two.
All right.
One has 6 seasons, and the other one has 5 seasons. I'll recommend both of them.
All right. There are no rules here. Go ahead. Just do both.
6 Feet Under and Oz. Both of those shows, very long-term commitment, but I feel like 6 Feet Under has more watchability in kind of a condensed form. Oz might be a little hard to handle. I feel like Oz needs to be like you can get a week of like, okay, I got a week to recover from that episode.
Yeah, Oz is hard.
Oz is intense. Yeah, but I watched the entire thing and it had me hooked.
Very early, don't you think? Rather early in the new wave of like HBO making really good seasonal TV, like episodic television. Oz was kind of a forerunner. They didn't.
Yeah.
Sopranos came later. Like most of their other big stuff came later.
Yeah, Oz 97 was when the first season came out.
Yep. Don't you like how that one insurance guy's in it? That's always falling out of trees. Yeah, isn't that weird?
What happened to him?
Yeah, he's insurance now.
Why? He's amazing.
I know, he's a good actor. Also, that show had this guy in it.
Lava tubes.
And had the other Ghostbuster in it. What's his name? I can't think of his name. Herney Hudson. Yeah.
Winston.
Yeah, he's in it.
In
the first couple seasons, anyways. The who's in charge of the prison? The warden. He's the warden. Anyway, continue on.
Oz, it's intense, it's raw, it's, I'm surprised I got into it, but it's like a, I don't know, male soap opera in a prison.
Yeah. There are some moments, like J.K. Simmons, what a character he plays. He's the, you'd know him as Spider-Man's boss in the first Spider-Man movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, he's a bastard.
He is a total bastard.
Really?
But
wow.
Goodness, what a performance, though. Holy crap.
It's hard
crap.
For me to see him in anything else now. He does farmers insurance commercials.
Yeah, it's all the big insurance money now for all these ex-Oz actors.
Right.
It's so weird.
He was in Juno. He played somebody's dad in Juno.
Juno's dad. Yep. Yeah.
Or, yeah, I guess Juno's dad. Yeah.
Brian, have you watched Oz?
I have not watched Oz. I was a huge fan of Six Feet Under, but did not watch Oz.
If you watch Oz, you're going to see a lot of actors you know in really just crazy situations. And
Michael from Lost kind of narrates the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's told through his weird kind of beatnik.
He's like the moral of the story kind of guy.
But he's like a beat poet in a weird way. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of doing these kind of hardcore poetry through the whole series. It's very interesting. It's not just straight up, oh, here's a prison drama. And because it's HBO, we can get super gritty in here. It's that, but it's told in a very different kind of narrative. It's not typical at all.
Hmm.
Check it out.
I think I picked it up on season two. I was just flipping through the channels. I was like, what's this? And it just kind of hooked me. And I was like, oh, I got, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And Mark didn't like it, so I didn't watch this with Mark. I watched it on my own.
Like Mark, I do not want to be in a men's prison anytime soon. And because the things they portray there are very bad.
Yeah. It's brutal.
I'm with Mark on that part.
So yeah, 6 feet Under, awesome. Did you like the ending, Brian?
I did. You mean the kind of the flash forward thing?
Yeah.
I did.
Was a ball of tears.
I still haven't seen that show.
What?
Oh, so good. I mean, and you got, again, you know.
You have no excuse
now. I can step
now
on the soapbox. Well, there's many stars in there that, you know, Peter Krause and Michael C. Hall play Dexter.
Mm-hmm. All right. Can we settle a bet? Is it Krause or Krause? I need to know.
Well, yeah, I guess I've heard it in interviews as Krause, Peter Krause.
I have too. I've heard people say it both ways, and it's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
I know which way I prefer it.
Yeah, Krause.
But that doesn't mean anything. So, all right. Well, then if someone out there want to give us some definitive proof, an interview or something where I can finally put that to rest, dude from Parenthood.
Send you to a website that actually pronounces.
Exactly.
We have to hear him pronounce it is the problem.
Yeah. Their theme. So I'm familiar with their theme song.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here it is right here. Here's the Nissan commercial where Lauren Graham and Peter Krause.
Is it? Did you link it? Where is it?
Yeah, here. I'm going to give it to you right now.
Okay.
It is in, and you'll get it in the first second.
Okay, here it is. So let's see. YouTube.
Sales Geek says it's Krause. Right. His wife worked with him.
I'm Peter Krause.
Ah, damn it. The very first line, I'm Peter Krause.
No, you're not. You're Krause.
All right, fine.
Lauren Graham, welcome I'm to Peter the Krauthammer. Parenthood.
What are they doing? Why are they standing out in front of the Golden Gate Bridge? That's weird.
Who knows?
All right, fine. Now I can quit calling him Peter Krause. I don't like his name now. His name bugged me. Was that
you
your
ruined everything for
so
me.
Yeah, those were my recommendals.
I will be watching that soon. So I'm being presented with this like buffet of awesome content I've never seen. I want to see The Wire. I want to see Carnival. I want to see this. I want to see everything.
And HBO is just known for firing on all cylinders as far as really, really good original content. You know, it's
Have you binge watched the second season of Orange Is the New Black yet on Netflix?
No.
10 of 13.
Brian has.
Really? Oh, I've been holding. I've been resisting.
Really? Why? You don't want to use it. You don't want to like.
I want to use them all up.
Yeah.
Plus, Nicole, you're like me probably, where you're like, all right, well, that's not going anywhere. Netflix is here to stay. That's going to be there. And it's not like it's got a limited time. It's a series that'll always be on Netflix. So I can go to catch up on other things before I go feast on it. Right? Right?
Yep.
Okay. See, yeah. not just me.
I need to find my moment. You're trying to validate yourself.
Your Honor, leading the witness, Your Honor, leading the witness. All right. Well, those are fine recommendals today.
Well, and I wanted to give you one last thing. Sure. And this is through Netflix. So everything we've been talking about, you can only watch on Amazon Prime. So if you don't have Amazon Prime.
Or HBO.
Really, or HBO. If you have HBO, you watch it on HBO Go.
Yeah.
But if you're looking and struggling to find something to watch on Netflix, have you heard of Netflix Roulette?
No, but I feel like that's a game we play on FilmSack every week. But just tell me what that is. What is this?
So the website is netflixroulette.net. I think I found it through an article on Mashable. I'm like, that's awesome.
Mm.
You go to it and you pick whether you're wanting to watch a movie or a TV show. You can even say the specific genre of a movie you're looking for. You can filter it by director's name, actor's name, or keyword. And you can spin the roulette and watch something. So give me an actor's name and we'll play.
All right.
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage. It's a good one. I like it.
Nick Cage. I wonder if I can just abbreviate it. We'll see.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. Probably. He'd probably be all right.
Nick.
Does it autocomplete or anything?
No. Okay.
All right.
It's Nicholas, Nicolas.
There we go.
If that helps.
Yeah, I was like, how the hell do you spell Nicholas?
And we'll see if you and I got different ones, because I just did a search. Although I did say, show me only things with a rating between 3.5 and 5, which really limits the Nicolas Cage filmography.
Yeah. I'm not. Nothing's coming up. Nicholas.
No H.
Nic.
It depends on the Nicholas.
It's spelled like Nicole with an S at the end.
Ass or as?
As, with an as at the end.
Ask me, yeah.
It's like there Nicole with an ass at the end.
Trespass is what I got.
What'd you get, Ryan?
I got Seeking Justice.
I did. I've
never even heard of it.
I did documentaries without any filters other than show movies and TV shows, and I got something called AKA Cassius Clay. 2001 documentary all about Muhammad Ali.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It'd be a fun little thing to
use. I could enjoy this.
Just kind of, sometimes you get locked into, you go to your Netflix play and you're like, oh, too much.
Yeah. I could have some fun with this.
Randomly give me something.
I don't think I'll ever use this because there is so much stuff that I want to watch.
Yeah, I know, right?
it's more of a game like, you would want to be real twisted with this and say, right, only movies directed by some crappy director. Or with the keyword,
only show me 5-star rated films starring Kevin James.
Yes, go. Exactly. Oh, it came up with nothing.
Ironic name just sent me a link. Apparently, there's a whole website completely dedicated to Nicolas Cage streaming movies called NicolasCageRoulette.com. Oh,
that's hilarious because that completely. I had no idea when I suggested you search
the internet. Of course, it has this.
Of course.
So I did. I just for fun to see what the game would be any fun here. I put just a keyword. I wrote the word poop because it just came to mind. And I got.
Oh, and I got a Kevin James movie.
I got The Best of Triumph, the Insult Comic Dog.
Oh, I love Triumph.
So I would actually enjoy watching it, and I would have no idea that was on Netflix. So,
right.
This is actually kind of helpful.
That sounds like a really, really good show.
Yeah.
For me to poop
on. Exactly. All right. Well, that's a nice little add-on to the end there. I've really enjoyed today's segment, and I hope whatever cold you're getting is brief and not hardcore.
And not contagious.
Yeah. See you in July.
I'm staying away.
All right.
Yeah, I'm staying away.
I am excited to see Nicole at Nerdtacular, and if you want to be on a team that she might be on, well, then you can get that final one today. Tiny.cc.
The winning team. You want to be on the winning team.
Oh, is that? Oh, then you want to be on mine. I understand.
Well, if we're nailing it down with that qualifier, then yeah.
Yeah. It's all very exciting. Nicole Spag on Twitter, Ladies of Leet, Nerd Parents, millions of other shows. Go follow her and you'll find all that stuff.
Be sure to download that app, tinyurl.com/nerdtacular. The schedules are up. The game schedule is up.
It's all up.
It's all up there.
Yeah.
And yeah.
What are you doing, people? Quit wasting your time. Go over there now. Check it out.
That's awesome.
Nicole, have a great day.
You too.
We'll see you later. Bye. Bye now.
See ya.
All righty. I just had a flashback of when I first met Nicole, which was over Skype on a phone while was traveling with Patrick through Nevada. It's a long story.
For me, it was at one of those first Nerdtaculars. I think like the second Nerdtacular.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. It's a good place to meet people.
Yeah.
Let's now do the next thing in line, which is for us to do Tom. Let's do Tom. And I'm going to call him and do him.
Okay. Okay.
I will now stop saying
polite,
it that way.
Right? It's only polite to call first.
Right? It's been an interesting week for tech. I'm sure he's got things to talk about. We're going to play his theme here, which goes a little something like this.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man in question is the one, the only, the Tom Merritt. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Scott Johnson and Brian Ibbett. How are you? Hello, Tom.
Very well, sir. It's so good to hear from you. You know, this is what
it's good to hear from you as well.
I started wearing a baseball hat because Tom wears baseball hats. Did you know that?
I started wearing a baseball hat because I haven't taken a shower yet.
Well, it is early in California.
I stopped taking a shower because Tom stopped taking a shower.
That's right. Let's just keep the chain going.
I will take a shower later.
So Tom comes on the show on Wednesdays. We talk about technology and what the hot stories are. It's usually stuff that he's preparing for his fantastic podcast and video show called Daily Tech News Show, which you can catch a little later today. What is boiling in the pot of Tom Merritt?
No idea. Feedly's down. I'm just kidding. But Feedly is down.
Yes.
What's going on with that? Jeez.
Got that error 522 this morning myself.
Mm. Yeah, it's kind of annoying. I use Feedly. I rely on Feedly because I like the way it syncs across. I like the way it syncs across platforms.
Yeah.
But no, it is the closest to the experience that I needed out of Google Reader when Google Reader went away. But I do have some backups. So I'm using the old Reader this morning, which I also kind of maintain a free account on for cases like these. Mm. But yeah, I guess I don't know if it's the same group, but there's a series of DDoSes happening. They went after Basecamp. Anybody in sales probably knows them or project
the
management.
To-do list,
yeah, they went after Evernote. Feedly is the latest. That what they do is they send DDoSes at these companies and then try to hold them for ransom.
But what's the why the attack on productivity stuff? That feels like a very targeted thing.
Where the money would be, right? I mean, some company needs to have the ability to maintain their to-do list. They're going to shell out for sure.
Yeah, I guess.
Because the people who rely on productivity apps want to be productive, and they can't be productive if the thing's down.
You're not going to see a DDoS on NicolasCageRoulette.com.
No.
If
there's any justice,
runs to try.
If there's any justice in this world, they will be. So like Asana, how are they doing this morning? Let's see, because Asana is like a big productivity group.
That's what you like,
I love that one, and it's free, which is nice.
Yeah, it seems like they're doing it in series. Like they go after one, and if that one fights them off, then they try another one. And the idea is like the user base is going to get so upset that they'll pay to make this go away. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they've been successful yet.
Yeah, I don't. I feel like there ought to be more causes like the anonymous stuff. Sometimes that had like some. I mean, there was some chaos and anarchy there, but there always seemed to be like some cause, right? Like,
right? Yeah, they were trying to raise awareness or mm-hmm. protest or this or that. This is just plain old greed.
Yeah, I don't like this part.
Occupy Netflix.
Oh man. That's actually not bad.
Occupy Nicolas Cage.
Yes. So that's interesting. Is that, and that's just today. Did that just start today? Has that been going on for a while?
Yeah, it started this morning. I'm not sure exactly when this morning, but I woke up and it was already in my feeds, except I couldn't tell because I couldn't read my feed.
Yeah. Well, amidst the flurry of video game talk this week, because E3 is in full swing.
Yeah, that's what I was planning to talk about, if the Feedly thing can happen. The other big story is that the taxi drivers across Europe are protesting Uber. But yeah, I figure we're going to talk E3 a bunch on Current Geek, but I'm curious before that, which by the way, Current Geek a day early. It'll be a Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern.
Yep.
This week.
We'll have
what's your takeaway so far from E3?
I always really enjoy the coverage, and I always really enjoy the conferences and both the good and the bad and just kind of the conversation. It's just one of my favorite times of the year. So I'm already sort of biased towards this big event. And there's always every year talk of, well, is E3 as relevant as it needs to be? Does it make more sense as things have gotten more spread out, more independent companies doing more games, publishing, self-publishing on Steam and other platforms? Does it make more sense for some of these companies not to spend all their wad at this one event and maybe have their own events? And, you know, there's a lot of arguments about whether E3 can maintain its relevance in the same way, say, Comdex did before it went away. Or, you know, some would even say the Consumer Electronics Show is kind of in the same boat these days. I really hope it stays around because I like the spectacle of it. I really enjoy it. But here's my big takeaway. Microsoft seemed contrite, unwilling to mention Kinect at all in their press conference. And they seemed to be focused on games, which I think is the right thing for them to do. It was a nice, tight presentation. They may not all be games I cared much about, but it was nice to see them throw the focus entirely on that. And it was interesting to see what Sony did and how tonally this year it seems like we have more upcoming big releases that are more violent than games I've ever played in the past. And I don't think this is just me getting older, because I likes me some good shooting up video games. I like me some violent games. It's not that. It's just this year, for whatever reason, just seemed bloody and hardcore. And
I didn't notice that.
I totally did. And it was really? And it was often like a tonal shift in the middle of a presentation. Like, I know that, you know, Mortal Kombat is known for this, so they're going to try to take it further and further every time they put out a new game. But Mortal Kombat X is literally the most violent thing they've ever made. It is the most gory thing they've ever made, and that presentation was disgusting. Then you've got everything's about dystopic people being terrible in the future. Military stuff where, you know, you're sacrificing hostages to get stuff done. Just felt real brutal to me. A lot of underworld, dark stuff. Just more than most years. That's all I'm saying. Hmm. And the occasional, you know, well, here's a kind of a Ratchet and Clank looking thing. And isn't that fun? And right. Oftentimes the very next game they would show was somebody being disemboweled in a hell dungeon or something. So I don't know. It's difficult for me to say, and I'm not
except
saying
Nintendo.
I'm not even saying it means anything. Yeah, Nintendo's was interesting.
Wii Dungeon.
But overall, the big takeaway, Tom, so far is that A, everything's being pushed to 2015. It seems like games wise that people care about. It's really weird to see so much delays in 1 year. 2014
but isn't
is
that
weird.
Always like that? Is the refrain is like, in fact, every preview of E3 I read before the announcements was like, expect all the games to be out in 2015, because that's what they do every year at E3.
Yes, for new stuff, absolutely. But for everything, there have been so many games that were supposed to be slated for 2014 that have been pushed pushed to next year.
Oh, that, like 1886.
Yeah, so things have been whittled way, way down to what normally you would expect for holiday season this year. It's going to be kind of barren, but that being said, not really, because we have so many other sources for gaming. Mobile, Steam, and a million other efforts are kind of disrupting the industry in a way that's never happened before. So it's not like people will be short on things to do to you know, to be entertained with video games. But the number one thing I came away with is how I really liked Nintendo's decision to do this documentary style pre-recorded thing versus a stage presentation. And I didn't expect to like it like I liked it. I thought I would hate it. I thought I would be like, and this isn't me saying I hope they get rid of all stage presentations from here on out.
It's the second year they've done it too. So
yeah.
They're getting better.
It is. And this was way better. This felt like a really well-polished, well-thought-out, still had some weird crap in it like you want to get from these things. But a thing that I felt like was less prone to oops, crashes, errors, people trying to be funny on stage and aren't, you know, all that kind of stuff is off the table, and you're just left with just
although
kind of
there
the
were
raw
definitely a couple examples in the Nintendo one of people trying to be funny on a pre-record and not.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And some of the translation was goofy. I mean, I you're never going to get away from that completely, especially with Nintendo, and that weird fight at the beginning with Iwata and Reggie Fils-Aimé was fantastic and is now probably, you know, animated GIF ammo for the next decade.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But overall, I just really found that refreshing and kind of had a weird wish that, oh, I wished all three of these guys would do this, even if it was in a theater in front of people at the same, you know, venue or something. There was something about it. Maybe it was just the polish I liked, or maybe it's just the change I liked, but I think it definitely shows a shift in what Nintendo thinks they want to do at this event. Regardless of their position in the market, I think this is how they want to communicate, and that will be interesting to see if Microsoft or Sony respond in any way.
But, I think we need to remember that E3 is not for us.
Not at all.
We are a side effect. right?
Oh yeah.
And so when Microsoft and Microsoft and Sony go up and do their presentation, they do it with an eye that we're all watching now. But the point of it is to get the retailers, you know, to like them. It's not so much about making orders like it is at CES, because GameStop is pretty much all you got. It's keeping them happy. Mm-hmm. But it's about Amazon too, and it's about developers and getting developers on board. It is about the industry. And so what Nintendo's doing, I really do feel like, is mostly them saying, we can't afford to spend a lot of money going to E3 when we really are relying on first-party stuff for the most part. So we'll be there, but our presentation, we're going to target entirely towards the audience, right? The gamers. Yeah. And that's why that one feels best, because it is targeted towards you. Whereas the Sony and Microsoft presentations are sort of like, well, we're doing this for a little bit for the press here, a little bit for the fans watching, and a lot for because it's an industry trade event and we need to make a splash. And they're trying to play more fields, I feel like.
Yeah, and they probably are, the message that Sony and Microsoft continually push is probably not resonating with me as an avid player, because what they sound like on stage is so much marketing fluff. It's the same stuff you get annoyed with Apple presentations, or when, you know, anyone takes stage and they're speaking to developers or some other audience, they're having to use all the, you know, the litany of words: fantastic, amazing, awesome. And it's coming in 20, burp, burp. But at the same time, they have to try to appeal to that crowd that is there, that are also playing games, that aren't just press and industry. It's an awkward mix, and I think that's what makes those stage presentations so awkward. The Nintendo one, I felt like anyway, was able to do it basically what they would have done on stage, but do it in a way that was far more entertaining to me and less like cringeworthy. I just kind of got into it, and I was very interested in what they were saying. But I also feel, I think you're right, but I also feel like industry folks, you know, a buyer for Northwest region of Walmart who goes to these things is seeing that video and getting kind of excited too. Because what they're, you know, Nintendo really put a good foot forward without spending $150 million on a stage presentation that may not really pay off for them. And there's an argument to be made that all of these guys are not, you know, this is loss leader money they're spending, because it doesn't really do much for them. Like, that stage thing is now just an expected thing, not something that actually does something major for their brand or their presentation.
But don't forget that the stage thing is in person. For the Northwest regional manager, he is in person. And when he is done, he goes and shakes some hands with real people who then buy him drinks and take him out. And it's all part of this extended experience, right?
Yeah.
Whereas what Nintendo did was, we put a digital thing up and the person said, you know, I don't really have time for that. I'll watch it later. And then there was no handshake afterwards. And there was no deal making afterwards. And so I feel like it's probably much less effective in that respect, because it's not part of the experience on the ground for people there. But I don't think Nintendo cares as much.
So maybe they're making a bet. Maybe Nintendo's making a bet that if they connect with the audience more at this event and others like it, and do the thing I'm talking about, which is, you know, like, what is BlizzCon? BlizzCon is them connecting with their player base. That is them not participating at E3 in a meaningful way where they're talking to industry. Their bread is always buttered directly with their audience. Maybe this is Nintendo making that move. I'm not sure that's a terrible bet, though, for them, especially in the position they're in.
Yes and no, right? I mean, it is Nintendo's bet. It's always been Nintendo's bet that we're Nintendo. We make our own best games. Third party is less of a priority for us, because it's not just the Northwest regional manager. It's also the developers out there, the third party developers that you want to get on board and get exclusives from. Nintendo doesn't care about that stuff as much.
Yeah,
that is a blessing and a curse, because they have amazing properties that they can get people really excited. I'm super excited. In fact, I owe Stuart White on Twitter for kind of calling me like, don't be so negative about Nintendo. They got some great stuff coming. I'm super excited about the open world Zelda.
Yeah, it looks insane.
And that's Nintendo's strength, and they're banking on that. But that strength has not been helping them the last couple of years, because the Wii U has been a disappointment sales-wise.
Yeah. I mean, if they'd had, it's always the story with Nintendo, though. They always have these AAAs. They always end up coming out, but they're always 2 or 3 years into the cycle. And that first year, year and a half, is always rough. Because they don't
you
have
it.
They don't
wasn't
have
for the
game.
Wii.
That's
but I think
true.
That, I
that's
think
true.
We forget that that's an exception. Because you're right. It is true for the GameCube. It was even true for the 3DS.
Yeah, the N64 went through this. I would even argue without
that's a really good point.
Without Super Mario World, you wouldn't have had a great launch with the Super NES either. It's like they've hit launch with one of their flagships, they nail it, and they tend to dominate that generation, or at least keep up. When they don't, they always flag behind. I feel like the Wii was a fluke because nobody, including them, I think, knew just how big Wii Sports was going to be as a pack-in. That's what that machine relied on as its primary early success. And they didn't have that here, you know, at all. It took them a year to get a Mario game out, proper, a good one, an amazing one by all accounts. And now Mario Kart finally, and now, you know, the things we are all expecting from Nintendo just take forever. And you're right, 3DS really took off once you started getting the games that Nintendo's great at. So, you know, I still think relying on gimmicks like touchpads and all this other garbage is a mistake for Nintendo.
I think they tried to capture lightning in a bottle because they're like, ooh, that motion thing on the Wii really works. Yeah. Let's do that again. And they're like, we don't know how to do that again. Really.
There's a weird dissonance, like a disconnect with that whole thing, which I don't understand. But now they're showing us things where we're like, oh, yeah, your core competencies. I forgot how amazing you can be. And that video really helped showcase that. And the stuff, you know, since they had a lot of their weird treehouse thing, or whatever they called it there in L.A., and by the way,
was it called the treehouse?
Whatever it was called, it was some kind of something. But it's basically like their presence there, and
they had the Nintendo Minute that was like 20 minutes long.
Yeah, their time, their concept of time is way off. Explains why everything's so late there. But
yeah, exactly. Now we know.
Now it makes sense.
A minute is 20.
LA is a big place. You're not affected by how crazy things get with this particular convention. Does it kill traffic? Does anything get worse while this?
It
is
does
all
kill
town?
Traffic downtown, but it doesn't affect me over here. Also, I never leave the house. So.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, well, you jog occasionally.
I do have my brother-in-law in town for E3 and a couple
of Los Angeles
other, you know,
kills
I've
traffic.
What's that, Brent?
Los Angeles kills traffic.
That's right.
E3 doesn't do it. Los Angeles does it all by itself.
Just for existing. Anyway, well, that's good. And you haven't. I mean, you're not going to go to any of this stuff during this week, right?
Ew.
No, you're probably better off.
I really, you know, this is where I get old man about stuff. I just don't see the point in going down and having a hard time parking and shoving my way onto a floor to not be able to hear very well, or decide I don't want to stand in line for something just when I could comfortably read about it in my own home and see the game trailer and feel just as excited and actually probably more informed.
I kind of agree. It's kind of why, you know, something like BlizzCon I really enjoy, because it's more than just seeing, because if it was all just what's Blizzard doing and when are we getting patches and stuff, I just watch it at home because they do a really good job with that. Why I go to that is because I see you guys. I see community. I get to run into instance listeners. I get to have that extended experience. And those are interesting to me. At E3, that's not what that con's about. I mean, industry regulars and press, they're going to all know each other. And sure, there's some good times to be had there. But for me to go to that,
there's definitely some people I would like to see if I fought my way over there. So I might head over there this afternoon just to meet some people, but I won't go into the convention.
Well, now,
I totally agree with you. Like, when I watch BlizzCon on the DirecTV thing, I get more out of it than when I attend as far as information goes.
Yep.
But I have a much better time when I attend because of the people.
Right.
Because we're hanging out in the AIE guild hall and we're going and having ice cream socials. Yeah. And, you know, it's that's something you can't get over the video. So it all depends on what you're after.
Yeah.
If you're just after the information, you're better off at home.
Well, it'll be a good year because we got Nerdtacular coming up where all of us will be there. We've got BlizzCon and many of us will be at that again. And of course, DragonCon and a million things in between where so many of us are around and you guys can see us all in person. But don't forget,
I know,
July.
I'm very excited because Nerdtacular, we booked Brian Ibbett on two panels at the same time and I can't wait to see the clone.
Oh, no, sweet. Really?
I think you were just splitting yourself, I think, is what you're going
to
do.
I think we solved it. I got to talk to Schleicher, but that was I think we finally nailed down all the participants. That was the last thing Nicole caught. She's like, we got Ibbett on two things at the same time.
That's really
funny. Do it.
I don't even remember agreeing to be on anybody's panel.
Yeah,
what
I don't either.
About?
What's going on here?
Talk to my agent.
There's so much to do before then, but it's going to be great. And we're super stoked to see you, Tom, and everybody else who are coming.
I'm excited. I can't wait to get there.
You, Tom, and Utah. All right.
Tom connection.
Today, later, you got the DTNS. You got other stuff going on. Anything in particular you'd like to expound upon before we let you go?
Yeah, Peter Wells from Reckoner is going to be on from Australia on Daily Tech News Show today. Mm. And we will probably won't be talking about E3. We've covered that pretty well the last couple of days, maybe a couple things here and there.
Yeah.
But I want to let folks know the Sword and Laser Anthology is now out on Kindle. So if you've been holding off to get the Sword and Laser anthology because you wanted to read it on a Kindle, well, you don't have to hold off anymore. Swordandlaser.com/store has the link, or you can just search on it in Amazon and find the Kindle version there.
That thing's awesome. Everyone loves it. Go check it out. That's Tom Merritt, Ace Detect on Twitter. My throat's going away. Tom Merritt, thanks so much. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Always good to talk to Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like a Justin Robert Young day. We're going long. All right. Emails. Let's do some emails. They're brought to you by... Oh, I can't wait for you to read this.
Yes. Bunny Disco has been listening, and Bunny Disco has heard. You thought it cost a little too much for ground-up bunny turd. Now at Bunny Disco, a deal we have for you. We hope you'll buy a lot now because we're surrounded by bunny poo. The bunny bombs are pulverized. It doesn't stink. There are no fumes. Sprinkle a bit on all your flowers. Caution, may cause blooms. A 3-pack for just $5 and shipping is cheap too. We hope you'll buy a lot now because we're surrounded by bunny poo. That's bunnydisco.com.
Nicely done.
I am your host, Nipsey Russell.
I once knew a man from Nantucket. All right. Right. Email here from Doozy in Arizona.
Doozy. All right.
My favorite Scorpion song, by the way, is Arizona. Do you know that? You know that song?
I did not know that. No.
I'm gonna play a piece of it for you because you're a music guy. And... Scorpions.
Only what I can think of is Arizona. Take up your.
No, sir. This is it right here.
Yeah, it's a different one.
Hold on, it's on left ear right now. I'm trying to get to the words here. I love it. I think it's because it's the happiest Arizona, or this happiest Scorpion song.
No, happiest Scorpion song.
Yeah, it's very happy. When I was that age, I was into the happy, so.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I want some happy,
I need
happy
some
devil.
Happy songs. I want to hear the guy with the mustache with two-necked guitars play.
I love that guy. Anyway. Right. Hey, spoiler and backstory.
Okay.
I once had a friend who got mad at me because I said I really liked the ending of a certain show. She accused me of spoiling it because now she has some sort of expectation about it and that she wouldn't have had otherwise. My point of view is that I'd love to know if the ending was good or terrible because I might not bother with the show if the ending was terrible. Don't sweat those that consider little stuff spoilers. You've been striking the right balance on your shows. Don't spoil the show, though. Deucey.
Nice. So just knowing that it was a good ending was too much for this person.
Because it would create higher expectations for that person. I feel like those people need to lock themselves in a room until they... it's too much to expect everybody else to tiptoe around your expectations.
Yeah, you're never going to not hear something about, oh, I was really disappointed in the ending of X. And it's like, oh, okay, well... There you go.
Now, we got another one along the same lines here. This is Logan from Connecticut.
Connecticut.
He says, hey, spoiler and binge watcher. These are pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I was listening to TMS today and the fact that practically anything that is said by anyone about virtually anything is a spoiler came up. This prompted me to do some thinking about spoilers, and I ultimately arrived at the decision to stop warning people or caring about them in general. Personally, I would rather have a thought-provoking conversation about something I've watched or read than have awkwardly tiptoe around it. I would also like to point out that for me, spoilers have often made more... He wrote this weird. Have often made more interested... Me more is what I think he meant. Mm-hmm. Me more interested in something that I may not have otherwise thought about. He put an I at the end. I don't know what he's writing this from space.
I otherwise would have thought about it, maybe.
Yeah, it maybe. A good example of this would have been when Scott binge-watched BSG and The West Wing last year. Neither are shows I ever thought seriously about until Scott would let something slip about a character or a plot line. I have since watched both shows to completion, and they are among my top favorite shows, and I have all of that to thank to the spoilers. As another side note, the recent Game of Thrones spoiler talk has piqued my interest, and I will start watching that series soon. In my opinion, if a show is good, spoilers may only help spread the word. Bottom line, I think that you should keep the spoilers coming on at your own discretion. Spoilers don't always make people upset. Sometimes they can be a good thing. Thanks, you keep up the good work. You spoiled my favorite show, yo. Logan from CT.
That's a really good point. The best shows you have to worry about spoilers. Nobody's, you hear people talking about spoilers for Game of Thrones and spoilers for The Good Wife and spoilers for Scandal and stuff like that. You don't hear about Glee spoilers. Or
Royal Pain spoilers. Or any
Keeping
of that.
Up with the Kardashians. Spoilers. Yeah. Oh, no.
Did you guys hear what happened on Psych last night? Spoiler alert. Yeah, nobody cares.
Hey, I hear Psych is really good.
It's actually all right.
Yeah.
And one of the dudes is from West Wing. Spoiler.
Of course he is, and probably was on Oz and on The Wire and probably slept with somebody who was in Deadwood.
Oh, spoiler, Brian. Spoiler. I love Deadwood. Want to watch Deadwood again? It's staring at me in that list and going, hey, I know you got all the other things to watch, but why don't you watch me again?
My life's too short to watch anything twice.
You have to.
I say that, but I've probably gone through the entire series of Lost like 3 or 4 times.
You need to watch. You have to watch that show.
Deadwood?
Yes. All right. I'm telling you, it's more than... I know you're not a giant Western fan, but it's more than that.
All right.
Way more than that. I think so, yeah.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, they're probably dirty old West boobs, though, right?
They totally are. They're dirty old West boobs. They totally are, dude. Slim Pickens boobs, we like to call them.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for your emails, everybody. We appreciate your thoughts and your feelings. And I can tell you, just generally on the show, we're not going to spoil things that are overt. We're never going to do that. But if something's old, we're going to talk about it. And if we want to be sneaky about it, I'm going to do like the Mortal Kombat talk again.
Right, right. That was
which genius. Somebody made, by the way.
Well, yeah, because we were a little obvious. Well, I say we. You were a little obvious about mountains and maybe a snake. I don't know. Like,
yeah, but nobody
viper.
Knows. Nobody knows what any of that is if they haven't seen it.
No, that's true. Well,
that's
the guy who emailed in and said, I've never seen a single episode of Game of Thrones yet. I'm thinking it had to do with somebody named the Mountain and somebody named the Viper.
Yeah, maybe. But you know what I mean? Like, if you don't know, it's not a spoiler. Or if you do know, you get it. That's right. The whole idea. So I'll keep doing that. I don't have a problem with that. But what I'm saying is somebody went out and made that Mortal Kombat scene. They made a YouTube video of that whole scene playing out like a Mortal Kombat match.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
They got a couple things wrong, though, about how long they let you finish him. It was way too long because it should have been quicker than that.
Sure. Anyway. Okay.
And if the guy says finish him, even if you don't finish him, he still dies and you still win the match.
Right.
So there is some problems there. Some continuity issues with the game. But anyway, here we go. We're almost done here. The morningstream@gmail.com is our email address. Keep them coming. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. On the Twitter, you can find us at morningstream, at Scott Johnson, and at Coverville. And today is Wednesday. That means Coverville. So what's going on?
It will be Coverville. So today we take a trip in the Coverville time machine back to the year 1979, to the week of June 11th, 1979, to find out what songs were popular then. And we're going to hear covers of them.
Great. I'm in.
And I don't think I'm going to find a cover of Reunited by Peaches and Herb.
How about, tell me if I'm right.
Peaches and Herb.
is this one? Here in my car, I got a... Isn't that song in there?
Cars by Gary Numan. Not on the list. Probably
79? I think it's 79.
Might have been 79. Yeah, it might have been 80.
Could have been 80, yeah.
Heart of Glass was on the charts at the time.
How about Betty Davis Eyes?
No, that's a little early for Betty Davis
Eyes,
I think.
Elvira? How about that one?
A little late for Elvira, if I remember correctly. I'm scrolling through the list here. I'm already down to...
it's probably the best.
Oh, my God. There's some horrible songs.
I'll bet. 79.
Sad eyes the other way. Oh, God.
Wow. Yeah. Really?
And, wow. Yep. I Was Made for Loving You by Kiss. That was number 42, but I'm probably not going to go that far south.
Yeah.
So to speak.
The show, the cover will have gone real south if you do that. All right.
The Logical Song by Supertramp. She Believes in Me by Kenny Rogers.
Oh my gosh. She Believes in Me.
Rock and Roll Fantasy by Bad Company.
How about
Renegade by Styx?
Blackout by the Scorpions. Well, maybe not.
Yeah, not so much.
All right. By the way, that came out in 82, that record. And I got it through the Columbia record thing, and I got tape. I got a tape version of it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And he got forks on his eyes. You remember that album cover? He's got forks on his eyes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I totally remember that album cover. Oh, and he's getting pushed through a glass window, isn't he?
Yep. Yeah, or something. Or he's getting pushed, or his face is being smashed against it. Yeah. It's difficult to say, but he's got a sweet mustache. That we know. It is known.
It is known.
So it is written. So we're done. Do check out coverville.com for that a little bit later. And that's it. Why don't we do a song now?
I think that's a great idea. Hey, Balrog and Smaug. Soon I shall end my long quest to America land. The embassy has been ever so kind to grant me a visa, and on June 11th, I shall take the giant flying bird to Portland so I can marry my lovely fiance. At the start of this adventure, I made a post in the Tadpole about it, and I want to thank everyone for all the support I received. That said, Mr. Bronzebeard, I would like to celebrate the occasion with a hymn. The only request is not "They're Coming to America," because that would just be too easy. Go nuts. Throw the Frodo.
All right.
So when I do think of stories like this, my first thought isn't "They're Coming to America," but it is "America" by Simon and Garfunkel. And so that's what I picked a cover of today. I think this is a Danish group called First Aid Kit. And I know they're Scandinavian. I can't remember exactly.
All see-through with pink eyes?
Something like that, yes. All right. So First Aid Kit, performed this live at the Polar Music Prize. And it is just a gorgeous, haunting version of Simon Garfunkel's America. The harmonies on this are just beautiful. And I love this song. Right. So going out to Peter. This is First Aid Kit and their cover of America.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Don't know exactly how we're going to roll because Wendy is probably not home yet, but now there's some talk that she might be. So I'm not sure yet. So they're on a trip to California, but I'm waiting to find out. Yeah. It's a mystery wrapped in a burrito. So I'll let you know.
Very distressing.
Very distressing. It's America. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Said, be careful. About this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.